life bookers from around the world, and thank you for tuning into this month's Life Note for Quality of Life Month, moving you one book closer to a 12-category smart life. I'm your host, Jordan River, as usual, and today's Life Note is Simplify, 7 Guiding Principles to Help Anyone Declutter Their Home and Life by Joshua Becker. As always, let's begin with a quote. Any half-awake materialist well knows that which you hold holds you. Core concept. We've all heard the term minimalist. Typically, it conjures up images of bare walls and a boring lifestyle, but Joshua Becker shows us that it can be just the opposite in his book Simplify. In this book, Becker outlines 7 principles to help us design a fulfilling minimalistic lifestyle that fits our own individual needs. So let's jump into today's first big thought. Be convinced. Find purpose. Quote, before any of us can simplify our homes and lives, we must be convinced that the lifestyle is worth our effort. End quote. Becker's first guiding principle of minimalism is be convinced. That seems pretty simple, and it is. But it is as necessary as it is simple. Our actions will always follow and serve our true desires. We can only hide our true wants for so long. In order to commit to simplifying our lives, we must first convince ourselves that it is what we really want. To help make this decision a little easier, Becker gives us 10 benefits to living a minimal lifestyle. 1. If we live lives that accumulate less stuff, we will spend less. 2. Simple, minimalist homes are less stressful. 3. If we have fewer things, the easier our homes are to keep tidy. 4. A minimalist lifestyle frees us from the restraints of our clutter. 5. By consuming less, we do less to harm the environment. 6. If we have fewer possessions, we spend less time shopping and caring for our things. This is time we can use to live more productive lives. 7. Living minimally can be an example to our children that personal belongings are not the key to happiness. 8. Purchasing fewer things frees up our income to support other, more important causes. 9. Owning fewer things means we can own nicer things. And finally, 10. When we die, the people we leave behind and who have to go through our stuff will thank us over and over for adopting a minimal lifestyle. Convinced yet? If not, check out the Becker family blog at becomingminimalist.com for a full list of 27 reasons to become a minimalist. Make it work for you. Assess your values. Quote, minimalism is the intentional promotion of the things we most value and the removal of anything that distracts us from it. End quote. Once we've convinced ourselves that a minimalist lifestyle is what we're after, we can start on the second principle, making minimalism work for our unique lives. For most of us, when we hear the word minimalism, we think of barren walls, empty cabinets, and only one change of clothes. But Becker agrees with us and says that that is no way to enjoy life. Becker has a typical suburban family. He and his wife have 2 beautiful young children, they love to entertain, and are active in their community. The destitution model may work for some, but it definitely doesn't work for them. Instead, he and his family have adopted what he calls rational minimalism. In the years since deciding to become a minimalist, Becker and his wife have been defining and redefining what that means for them specifically. Today, their rational minimalism is reflected in 5 aspects. Note that this is just what Becker has found works for his family. He includes them as a model, but insists that we assess our own individual lives and find what works for us. But let's go through Becker's 5 minimalist aspects. First, we will intentionally promote the things we value most. Just like the quote that opened this section, this promotion should be reflected in our homes and in our actions. Second, We will remove all clutter from our lives. This begins with physical clutter, but soon goes far beyond that. It gives us the opportunity to remove emotional, spiritual, and relational clutter as well. Third, we will decorate in a minimalist style. Our home should reflect what is important to us. Decorating in a minimalist style removes those things that are just placeholders, leaving only the pieces most near and dear to our hearts. Fourth, we will use our money for the things more valuable than physical possessions. Surely we all have causes that we would deem more valuable than just owning more stuff. For Becker's family, it's giving more to charity. For others, it's traveling the world with people we love. Whatever it is for you, living minimally frees up more income that can be used to pursue those things. And finally, fifth, we will live a countercultural life that is attractive to others. Becker wants his brand of rational minimalism to inspire others to live simply. He does not want us to live deprived lives, but instead to live more fully by focusing on what is most important and whittling away that which is not. Jump right in. Small steps lead to big results. Quote, a journey of 1,000 miles begins with a single step, end quote. Lao Tzu. But you have to take that first step and keep taking steps after that. Becker's third guiding principle is jump right in. Decluttering an entire house probably seems daunting, especially if it's a house you've lived in for an extended period of time. Junk just seems to accumulate on its own. But be brave. Quote, you don't declutter your whole house the first day out. You start with a small, manageable job and build your way up. End quote. As we gain small victories at the beginning, maybe we cleaned out and organized the medicine cabinet, then the pantry, and so on, we also gain momentum. Victory leads to victory. Becker gives us a suggested order, beginning small with vehicles and working all the way up to big jobs like the garage. No matter what space we're decluttering, Becker offers a process that we can use anywhere. We should remove every item from the space, within reason. No need to remove your 500-pound china cabinet. Physically touching the items gives our minds the time to focus and makes it clear just how much stuff is in the space. Then, sort the items into one of three categories: keep, move, or discard. Items that made it into the keep pile should be returned to the space in an organized manner. Those in the move pile should be moved to their new home immediately. Items that did not make the cut should be sorted to sell, to donate, to be thrown away, etc., and then discarded accordingly. Becker also offers a variety of tips for the specific areas of our homes. There isn't enough space to detail all of them here, but we do want to share a favorite. Many of us have closets full of clothing, many of the items hanging untouched for most of the year. Becker suggests that we take our wardrobes and turn all of the hangers in our closets around so that they're facing backwards. When we wear an item, we turn the hangers back around the right way. After a couple of months, we assess what clothing has been touched and what is still hanging the wrong way. Visual experiments like this really help to put it into perspective. Stop the trend. Break the cycle of overconsumption. Quote, you say, if I had a little more, I should be very satisfied. You make a mistake. If you are not content with what you have, you would not be satisfied if it were doubled. End quote. Charles Spurgeon. This sounds like something straight out of a 12-step program, but Becker's fourth guiding principle is stop the trend. In order to sustain a simpler, minimalistic lifestyle, we must break our cycle of overconsumption. We must first come to terms with the fact that possessions do not equal joy. The unfortunate truth is, we have equated possessions with joy for so long that even when evidence is right in front of our face, we don't recognize it. And the evidence really is there in the form of scientific and sociological studies. In fact, America ranks numero uno in rate of depression, even though we're known around the world for how much stuff we own and have at our fingertips. We also need to consider the true cost of our purchases. Yes, there is the cost on the price tag. That's a good place to start. But we also need to consider some of the hidden costs. Where will you store those items? Sometimes it ends up in storage units, which don't come cheap. Becker also points out that it costs about $10 per square foot just to store items in our home. Also, about 8 to 13% of our electric bill is a result of standby power, the electricity that appliances pull just by being plugged in. Yikes. To help us break the cycle of overconsumption and clutter, Becker suggests we adopt a spending plan. Not a budget, a spending plan. This plan is different from a standard budget in that it gives us control over our money every single month. It does not dictate when, where, and how we can spend our money. First, we determine our monthly take-home pay. Next, we sit down and determine our monthly fixed costs, rent, electric, gas, etc. Subtracting this amount from our take-home pay will give us the amount of discretionary income we have each month to use as we see fit. This planning not only promotes a minimalist lifestyle, but also helps our bank accounts. Persevere. 6 steps to stay clutter-free. Quote, "Not everything that can be counted counts, and not everything that counts can be counted." End quote. Albert Einstein. So what happens once we've successfully decluttered the entire house? We will no longer be motivated by the prospect of having another room to work on once this one is finished. Instead, Becker says, this is where we really need to persevere in order to remain in the clutter-free state. He gives us 6 tips to help us keep up the clutter-free lifestyle. Tip 1. Recognize the clutter collection sites. This is where it's important for us to understand the flow of our homes. We need to identify which areas are magnets for clutter and take steps to alleviate that buildup. Maybe your desk is your dumping ground for all your books, electronics, papers, pens, bags, even clothing. Install clutter busters, desk and drawer organizers, and begin to change your habits so that this is no longer a problem area. Tip number 2, minimize the junk mail. We found this tip really interesting. I never really thought about how much clutter builds up simply due to junk mail. Most people just pull it out of their mailbox and drop it somewhere, usually on top of the junk mail from the day before. One fix is to just make sure we drop it into the recycling or garbage right when we walk in the front door. But an even easier fix is to not receive it at all. To opt out of the junk mail we receive, all we have to do is add our names to the Do Not Mail list on dmachoice.org and at optoutprescreen.com. Tip number 3. Stay ahead of the game with clothing. Becker doesn't offer any specifics for this one, just that we have to adopt a strategy that helps us stay ahead of clothing clutter. A good rule of thumb is just to always put clothing in the proper place when we take it off, laundry basket, back on the hanger, etc. But just like everyone else, we each have to develop a routine that works for us. Tip number 4, stay clutter-free with kids. Yeah, good luck with this one. But Becker says it really can be done. It may be a more difficult part, but it's not impossible. Toys produce much of the kiddie clutter. Go through them and identify which ones they actually play with and which ones can be removed. Don't just do this once. Continue to purge as the kids acquire more and more toys. It can also help if you make a permanent home for everything and make sure that the kid knows where those homes are. Tip number 5. Be ready for the holidays and gifts. Clutter seems unavoidable during the holidays, but it can be kept to a minimum. Becker suggests making lists to give to relatives and friends for birthdays and holidays. These lists should be short and only include things that are needed. He also suggests purging after the holidays. Chances are we received some gifts that we really didn't need or want, or received something that can take the place of something we already have. Either way, there are most certainly things that can be disposed of. And finally, tip number 6, think outside the box. Finally, we just need to adopt this habit that helps us to constantly control and reduce the clutter in our own lives. This can include buying things for their usefulness rather than their status, or learning to enjoy the things without owning them, the possibilities are endless if we learn to think outside of the box. Share the joy. Simplify the world. Quote, an individual has not started living until he can rise above the narrow confines of his individualistic concerns to the broader concerns of all of humanity. End quote. Martin Luther King Jr. Becker's sixth guiding principle is pretty self-explanatory. Share the joy. Once we have simplified our own lives, we should tell our stories and help others find joy in simplicity as well. Becker puts it best when he writes, quote, we were never meant to live life accumulating stuff. We were meant to live simply enjoying the experiences of life, the people of life, and the journey of life, not the things of life. End quote. Don't misinterpret this. Becker is not saying that owning stuff means we're living our lives the wrong way. What he's saying is that we should remove the unnecessary clutter that can distract us from what's really important in life. Becker and his wife do this through their blog at the URL I mentioned earlier. They share their story and detail their continuing journey down the path of minimalism. They even encourage readers to share their own stories, so it's a good place to go for tips and inspiration. Simplify everywhere. Life's big and little rocks. Quote, you don't need to chase everything you've always wanted if you already have everything you need. End quote. Simplicity brings freedom. Simplicity brings joy. Simplicity brings balance. Once we've experienced these feelings as a result of decluttering our homes, Becker insists that we will soon be asking ourselves, where else in our lives can we simplify? And the answer should be simple. Everywhere. Becker uses an illustration here that we really liked, so we're going to share it with you. A university professor stood in front of his business students one day and pulled out 1 gallon mason jar. He then proceeded to take out about a dozen fist-sized rocks and arrange them in the jar. When no more would fit, he asked his students if the jar was full. Everyone yelled out a confident yes. The professor just gave a small smile and then pulled out a bucket of gravel. He poured it into the jar and shook it so pieces of the gravel worked its way down into the cracks between the rocks. Now is the jar full? He asked. Much less confidently, the students answered, probably not. Then he pulled out a bag of sand and poured that into the jar, which filled in the tiny spaces between the rocks and the gravel. He asked the same question again and got the answer he was looking for. No. He smiled and poured a pitcher of water over the sand and gravel and rocks. The point the professor was trying to make is not that no matter how full you think your life is, you can always fit more. What he's trying to tell his students is that if you don't put the big rocks in first, you'll never get them in at all. What are the big rocks in our lives? Quote, simplifying life is about identifying the big rocks, putting them in the jar, and intentionally eliminating the little rocks. End quote. Thank you for sharing this time with me. I hope you enjoyed this wonderful life note for Quality of Life Month. I know I did, and I look forward to bringing you more wisdom each and every month as we work our way through the 12 categories on repeat. Thank you so much, Life Bookers. Have an extraordinary time crafting your life vision out there. We'll see you next time for the next life note. This is Jordan River signing off, saying have an extraordinary day. Bye-bye.